Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about dreams. Where do you go when you lay your head down on that pillow? Out of body, out of spirit, out of mind, or maybe you're taken on this journey and you see aliens, you see your past lives, you see maybe your daily lives, or maybe your loved ones show up. What are dreams all about? Are they guideposts to tell us what to do and we just want to wake up and hurry up and write them down because that's your message for today and you have to find it? Because if you miss it, oh dear, you might take the wrong path in the daytime. Are our dreams truly telling us what to do? Are they opening up our thoughts, our mind, our experiences to other options? Or perhaps they are just there to be a moment in time. It's almost as if when you're in an airplane and you're going across, you know, and you look out the window, you say, wow, look at all those people down there. I wonder what they're doing. And you're in another terrain, another city, another state. It's all of these glimpses in time. And what do you draw from it? Maybe it's a message. Maybe it's something that calms your heart. Or maybe it's something that challenges you to look for something different in your day. My guest today is R.J. Cole. His book is Morpheus Speaks, The Encyclopedia of Dream Interpreting. Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Dr. Jeanette.
So, Robert, don't you think, hey, where do you go when you put your head down on that pillow? It's like sometimes I never even know, and it's something different all the time, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I wanted to comment on your introduction. I wish I had written that myself. That was beautifully done. Thanks.
Oh, you're so welcome. I think, Robert, when we lay down, you know, I've had so many varied experiences. I mean, I'm in my 60s, and I can go back all the way to the beginning. And I think sharing our experience is really what this world is all about. And when you see it in your dreams and you see it in your daytime, isn't that what you write about?
Absolutely. You know, I had mentioned in the book and in other places that dreaming, it's in learning to look at those dreams and analyze those dreams. It's a way of learning to listen to yourself and listen to yourself in a much deeper way, in a much more spiritual way than we either can or want to or have the time to, you know, when we're awake.
Right. You know, I can always remember as a small child, my father would get up and say, man, I had this crazy dream. I did this and I did that and oh, man. And he would start to tell my mother and she'd be like, oh, shut up. You know, you're crazy, whatever. And she always blew him off, always, you know.
Yeah.
And he never really, he didn't really have a venue to be able to share his dreams with anyone, nor in the 50s and 60s when I grew up, did we have an experience where we could do that also and then have a conversation with someone. Don't you think now in 2020 it's about opening up this experience?
I do. I think we're just right on the cusp of an explosion in this particular area. There are more and more people. I can't tell you how many people that will write to me, email, of course, and share their dreams with me and wondering, you know, what could it possibly mean? There's just literally thousands of people over the last few years that have opened up over 140 different people from 140 different countries, you know, have contacted me. And it's like when I first started this, I could barely get one a month.
But
things are beginning to happen. People are realizing there's more to this reality than what we see on the surface. And in your dreams, there's a wisdom beneath the conscious mind that we often don't have access when we're busy just trying to survive the day. And dreams, shut that part down and open up a whole world of wisdom and individual guides to, your life in general.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think also, too, in the daytime, we're almost creating this human existence that has to appear as your reality. I almost see it in the daytime. Everybody's trying to put the puzzle pieces together to fit this picture of who they are. And
right.
Now we're really at the precipice, with dreams and also meditation. Can you escape that precipice picture that you're trying to create and see that there's so much more to you, who your soul and self is? And that is what is explored in dream time. That is what shows up in meditation. That is what shows up in that quietness of your soul. That other sense of who you really are. It's not about that silly picture that you're trying to create every day, yes?
Yes. You know, there's that saying that is biblical that says, be still and know that I am.
Okay.
I think this is what dreams are, apply to us and give to us, is it offers us a chance to truly be still. And mm-hmm. to get to who you really are. Now, I know that's a little scary for people. I mean, a lot of people are worried that, if they go too deeply, they're going to find demons down there. Things that they don't want to have to deal with, stuff that they've stuffed down there for a long time because they don't want to face it, they don't want to deal with it, or just believe they can't deal with it, in the waking world. But that stuff never goes away. You may stuff it down. You may hide it, but it never goes away, and it's always affecting what you think, what you feel, what you do, in the everyday world. So sometimes it's a good idea to kind of flush some of that stuff out, like you would a quail if you were hunting.
Okay.
Just get it out so that you can look at it and deal with it. It's amazing how non-fearful, this material can be once you get it out and look at it in the light of day.
Yeah, I had a lot of dark times of dreams, and I finally got to the point where I said, I'm about done with you. I've had it, And then as soon as I said that, it is almost as if the darkness stops in its tracks. And then you say, you go to the light.
Yeah.
And then one day they decided to argue with me. They said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And I said, okay, fine. Then God, it's time for you to come get them. And then all of a sudden, it just, I think sometimes when you step into your power, when you allow support in other realms to help you, when you say, I'm going to stand in trust and in silence and almost this space of just of this knowing that there's something greater than you.
Yes.
Even in your, people say, oh, but I do that in the daytime. I go to church and pray. And then they wonder why things aren't working out. Well, there's another part of you that's still there. And if you can do it in dream time, sometimes it's sort of like, whoa, your lifetime in the day shifts, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. Many dream analysts or psychotherapists, and I'm thinking of one in particular right now, Thomas Moore, have used a quote that I just love, that dreams are the royal road to the soul.
Right.
And it really is. If you really want to get in touch with that part of yourself, get in touch with that deeper you, that's the bigger you, dreams are a way to get there. So is meditation,
right.
and a variety of other ways. You naturally do something that I try to teach people that I work with their dreams. And that is to, you know, pull up a dream and reanimate it and have a conversation with it. You seem to do that naturally. Most people do not because I think it seems silly to them. And it does. It seems a little silly. You're talking to some imaginary thing. But the truth is, what I've discovered is it's all imaginary. We're making it up all the time. And sometimes what we need to do is to start getting a little more solid with it and dealing with some of that material. And you're right about bringing the darkness into the light. The darkness can't stand up to light. It just cannot. It's rather feeble unless you keep it pushed down. Because when you push it down into the unconscious mind, you got to remember that's anywhere from 70 to 90% of the mind is in its unconscious state. That depends on which researcher you're reading.
Right.
But it's certainly more than the conscious mind. When you're shoving all that material down there, you're actually giving it energy. And you're giving it greater energy than your conscious mind can deal with. And dream analysts call that the shadow aspect of the individual. And everybody has one. And some of them are terrifying and some not so much. You know, I think of the story by J.K. Rowling, you know, the Harry Potter series. And how there's only one person in the entire, you know, seven books or whatever it is that actually will say the name of the Dark Lord, you know, and that's Harry. In other words, he's the only one that will call out the shadow by its name, whereas everybody else is denying it and pressing it down. And but he's the one that's able to conquer it because he brings it into the light. She did a lot of metaphor like that, spiritual metaphor like that. But it's fascinating the effect it can have on one's life once you start having that dialogue with your dreams.
Let's talk for a second also, too, Robert, about when we set our head down on the pillow. Mine, I just like, boom, I'm out. I'm into I'm out of body. I'm gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the funniest thing because my husband says, my gosh, you just laid down and you're snoring. I said, that's my car motor. It tells me to where I listen for it and I know where else to come back in. And he says, what? And I'm going, yeah. You know, if you don't leave your body and park, you won't know how to get back in, right? So I let the motor run it. Yeah. So, you know, but I think sometimes when we go into this out-of-body, people will say, where are you going or what are you doing? And in essence, truly, a lot of times when people say they're having end-of-life things, this is a very similar experience.
Yes.
Because you are actually truly going someplace else. You know, I can remember one dream I had, and I was just a little glimpse of it, and I saw a bullet come straight at me. And I mean, literally, as I'm saying it now, I can see the bullet coming right at my nose, and it's coming right at me. And somehow something, I don't know if someone pushed me or if I jerked myself out of the way, but I think it actually was both scenarios. And I got stuck in that timeline and trying to get out of it to wake up.
Hmm.
So in the nighttime, I had this horrendous headache. I mean, I had pain in my head that I could not touch. I couldn't find it. I didn't know where it was. And then I woke up. And for an entire 24 hours, I had tremendous pain in my head. It was incredible. Until I went back to sleep again and kind of recommissioned that to know that I was okay. So I think sometimes when people say, well, I'm afraid of something that would happen in my dream, that it might show up in my reality. Well, maybe some of those symptoms are showing up in your reality, and you just didn't connect the two. You know?
It's an excellent point because that's one of the things that dreams can do is it can give you a sort of overview of your health status.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that have experiences like you just, shared, where what's happening is the body is sometimes much wiser than the mind. It knows what's going on in it, and we're not listening most of the time. I know I certainly am not. I mean, when I feel an ache or a pain, I'm trying to ignore it so I can get through the day.
Right.
But when you're asleep, all that's gone. And it just provides you with, you know, pure what's going on with your body. So one can really look closely at what's going on with the body and pay attention. There may be something there health-wise that you need to pay attention to. Because it is your body talking to you, and it's talking through, you know, your unconscious.
Right. And it also takes you on a journey, too, because that ended up being another few nights of a past life thing. And I went, oh, okay, so no big deal. In other words, I think we sometimes get attached to our dreams as if they are, quote, the us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, say that again.
Right. So, in essence, I saw it, I sensed it. It was past life. It was something that experienced in my dream. But
yes.
I didn't need to incorporate it into my present moment. It
right.
was somewhere else in another space and time. I could say, oh, okay, I must have, you know, had that happen in a past life. Okay, cool, you know, but I'm here today. Today is different.
I
survived it because I'm still here. So in essence, what that told me, that dream message was, is that, yes, you've died many times. You've died like that. See? You died by a bullet one time. No,
yeah.
And you go, oh, okay, cool.
So stop but stressing then, over it.
Right. But then when you get into the dream set, you say, you know, and then the next message was, it was, you know, okay, we've died many times, and it's okay, but our soul lives on. So I think sometimes we think that all of these messages have to be concocted and created in a story that you have to incorporate into today because it's important, or you're going to miss the mark. Or, hey, I have to...
Well, in a way, you already did that, though. I mean, the way I'm hearing you is that you did take a look at it, and what does that mean for me today? And and it cleared something for you by looking at it in terms of where you are now. And I mean, that's always something you want to do, is to look at the dream. Yes, it could be giving you information about a past life. Yes, it could be precognitive. Yes, all of that. But it is also a statement about something you've been wrestling with in the here and now.
Right.
I mean, that's always there. It may be a little thing, but it's always there. You will, I have a sense, go into that out-of-body past life more often than the rest of us do, I think.
Right,
may be wrong about that, but it's
I do that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's because that communicates very deeply with you,
right?
And so dreams, what they'll do is they will, the unconscious mind will give you, you know, dream symbology that means something to you, the dreamer, that it can. You know, it's sort of like saying she'll understand it if I give it this way.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think also, too, Robert, that's when we can exist in other as multidimensional beings? In other
absolutely.
Words, right.
Absolutely.
So, in other words, in our dreams, we actually are existing in through other planes of existence. So I think the idea is, do we take our dreams and make it be our... Like, would I take that dream and no longer go out because I'm afraid that something's going to happen at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
In other words, you know, so we wouldn't,
and I would
take it to be as a fork. It's not a fork in the road. It's not a let's nail that coffin shut. It's okay, great, cool, whatever. Let's move on and move through, you know?
Right. And in a lot of cases, that's exactly what it is. There are some times when it is a fork in the road, but I think what you just said is more true than not. I want to get back to one of the things you said earlier about the bullet.
Yes.
You know, heading right for your head. Because
uh-huh.
as you were saying it, I had this image of the bullet, you know, in
yeah.
slow motion.
Yeah, it was slow motion,
and, yeah. yeah, headed right for my head. And then there was this other slow motion movement where I moved to one side and the bullet, you know,
yeah.
went past. And
uh-huh.
immediately what came up for me is it's something that dreams will do a lot of, and that's a pun.
Correct.
Dreams love to pun.
Yeah.
And what I got out of that was, wow, I just ducked a bullet.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and don't you think that that's exactly what we want to talk about for a second, Robert, in dreams, is that what we think or what we say might be what its message was, but there are a bazillion options. In other words, people want to say, you know, well, I'm going to find the answer. That's the answer. It's the truth, you know?
Yeah,
it is true. Right. It's the one thing that's for me, and you know, and then they tag on to someone, they're my guru, they know my everything, and it's sort of like, well, no, maybe they just gave you the option and it showed up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's all a dream analyst can do. I mean, they
right.
can yeah, because it is your language, it is your dream. Each of these symbols means something specific to you. I mean, I've had, you know, people tell me about a table. I can get into a lot of detail with a dream, depending upon what the person needs. Some of them might, you know, a one-liner, you know, will handle. In other words, you know, I can go on for several pages. But, you know, somebody may tell me that a dream table in the dream means one thing to them when it means totally something different to me. For them, it might be the place where when they were growing up, you know, they sat and ate milk and cookies with grandma. So it sort of is an image or a symbol of love and caring and nurturing.
Right.
Whereas for me, it could be the same table as described by the dreamer, could be the table where I was forced to sit when I was being punished. So therefore, it has complete opposite symbolism. So again, I can't begin to tell somebody else what their dream means. I can give them several possibilities, but you're right.
Right.
They have to be able to go there themselves. So as a, you know, this is a dream encyclopedia, and it's only the book I've written, and it's only that in because it not only tells a person how to recall their dreams, to remember them, but what to do with them after they've done that, but it also gives them a dictionary of potential meanings of their symbology. And it, again, it's potential. There are over 5,000 different symbols in the book, and each one of those symbols have several possibilities. And you could either choose one or none, you know, as mm-hmm. as ways to explore your own dreams.
You know,
with
your book, Morpheus Speaks, really what I see it as is a tool chest. What
yeah.
it does is it provides you the tools to understand how to construct the words, to take a definition or a word and say, this is a potential idea. Did you ever
yeah.
think about that? And they say no. And then it leads you on. In other words, Morpheus Speaks is really seeding the thoughts to find your own potential. That's what I see it as. You
yeah,
know? And
that's very good. I mean, you could have written the introduction very easily.
because
basically all I'm saying with this. It's
right. It's about bringing it out there, right?
It's also the reason why I encourage people, especially when they're just starting out, you know, with
uh-huh.
looking at their dreams, they find a group. They find a group of similar-minded people who are willing to share their dreams. And then in that group, you know, you set up certain rules the way, you know, a group should be in order mm-hmm. to, you know, make it safe to communicate this sort of thing. Because you can get pretty deep, emotionally deep in a dream group. But then people give other ideas of what your dream might mean. And, you know, I have watched people in dream groups go, oh, yes, and then just head off, you know,
in different
directions. So I highly recommend that people share their dreams. Don't just write them down. You know, that's nice, and it gives you an opportunity to then look at them closely following the process I write in the book. But where it really starts to happen is with other people.
I think also, too, the idea is that it gives you an option to dance with. In other words, it's giving you a different language. Sometimes we say, my dream must mean this, and you tell your husband or your girlfriends or whatever, and they'll give you an answer, and you're trying so hard to put yourself into that square peg kind of round hole concept,
right.
You know, and you say, well, okay, then I'll believe that. I'll take that as truth, you know, and you know, somewhere, somehow, some way, you're going to get another dream. Something else is going to show up, and eventually it will push you to a book like yours, because then that's a tool that'll say, maybe it's this, or maybe it's that,
right. You know,
it's so interesting because, Robert, you know, I work with a lot of patients, and they'll say, my doctor can't fix me. You know, I'm coming to you. This is, you know, you're my last hope. And I'll say, oh, I said, it's fantastic. I'm so excited that you have this disease. And they say, what? Are you crazy? And I said, because it's something you have been seeking for your entire life, was to get a name on this. So now you've got the name. Now what are you going to do? Don't you think that's very similar with dreams?
Absolutely.
Is that they will take you to that place, and then you'll get to it, and all of a sudden you'll say, whoa, oh, that's it. And then you say, now what?
Yeah.
Right?
And you do ask, now what? And the book actually addresses that issue of now what. The, in my opinion, best way, you know, to work with dreams is to either work with a therapist or a counselor or, you know, your best friend, you know, to share with your best friend, you know, some of your dreams. And to realize that, you know, you don't have to fit yourself. That's what it was. You don't have to fit yourself into, you know, what society says this dream ought to mean. I mean, we do that all the time in the conscious world anyway. We're always trying to fit ourselves into what or condition ourselves into what society, what the culture says we ought to think, we ought to be like. We just do that automatically. It's a way of surviving, you know, the finding a tribe and then doing what the tribe says is, you know, what you should be doing. And it's a way of surviving. So we automatically do that. And it's hard to say to yourself, look, I don't have to fit somebody else's explanation of what I mean. And I think the book helps people to see that in a gentle way. I mean, I have some things in the book that definitely deal with planes of existence and out-of-body experience and the like, but I try to keep it more on a level that the average everyday dreamer, you know, can appreciate and use. Because if they get into the habit of using it, that world will open up for them. You know, the world that you and I both know is there. It will open up for them. For a lot of people, they're just not there yet. I try to guide them to that particular place. And it's amazing what will happen. I'll get people that 3 or 4 years ago I worked with, you know, whom, you know, I had no idea what happened to them. And they'll come back and they'll tell me some of the things they're into now and they're doing. And wow, I mean, their lives have just exploded.
Right, and see, right there, Robert, is exactly the point, is that if you find you're engaging with a medium or a psychic or a channeler or a healer or a doctor or a physician or preacher or whatever, or dream stuff, it's about what is the next step to open you up.
Yep.
And then you engage in it for a period of time, and then you'll phase off of it. You aren't meant to stay in it forever. Let's talk about that for a second. You aren't supposed to take all of your dreams for your entire lifetime. I'm in my 60s. Holy crap, I could tell you some of the stuff that I've had, and I could tell you the stuff that I've let go to. You know what I mean? Because I think people will say, oh, well, it's working for me, and it's this, this, and this. And then all of a sudden, one day, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
That day that it doesn't is the day you're supposed to find another tool to find something else about yourself. You're not supposed to be ingrained in the guru system forever, right?
Right, right. And that's just not so. I mean, again, that's where the whole idea of beliefs and expectations get in your way.
Right.
I mean, if you really want to get to the magic, that is kind of the foundation of your dreams. If you want to get into that imaginal realm and actually get a sense of what you have to let go of those expectations. You need to be in the now. You need to be in the present moment and not in some belief that you have about the value of dreams and what they mean. That's the biggest issue. You know, there was a book years ago that was called If You Meet the Buddha on the Road, Kill Him.
Yes.
Did you ever run across that book?
No.
Well, basically what it was to, you know, to teach people that there are all these gurus out there, and they all know something. But if you take anything that they have to offer as gospel and then attach it to your life so that it becomes a belief or an expectation, you've just stopped your growth.
Right.
You've just ended, you know, your ability to be in the here and now, that you really need to, you need to let go of those expectations and beliefs because they'll get in your way.
In the year 2020, I've been calling this the cosmic year. I mean, I've been saying that for years.
Oh, that's an interesting.
Yeah, it's like this is the cosmic year, and really, what we're talking about is that we're no longer these dense human beings that just descend in this world like a piece of matter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's look at it as a quantum physics time, you know? What is truth? What is reality? What is an illusion? What is a dream time? What is your truth, my truth? And what is perception all about? Really what we're doing is we are subtly opening up the soul and the human perspective to be able to see there is so much more. You're learning quantum physics by letting go of your human, I've got to put on shoes, I've got to know this in grade 2, and I've got to bring it forth in grade 12, and I've got to be able to incorporate a blah, blah, blah story. You know?
That conditioning, I think, ruins us.
Right, it ruined us. So really what we're doing now is we truly are learning a quantum being from the inside out. We're learning about dreams. We're learning about dark figures. We're learning about, hey, I mean, I've got 20,000 pictures of the sun. Not one of them is the same. And you look at them and you go, holy crap, there's power. That's true power, you know?
Yeah.
But yet we think we have to get our power back or, you know, you'll see it with domestic abuse right now. They're saying, get your power back. And I'll say, no way do I want that power that you think you're going to give to me. That's another system I don't want, you know? No way. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Stay over there. And I think the idea is, can we incorporate from inside of us? Dream time is perfect for that. You learn your inner power. You learn your inner self. You learn how to stand up to the dark. You learn how to expand into the light. You learn all of this by noticing in dream time, yes?
Well, you learn it as it applies to you.
Correct. Correct.
And there is no one way to do it, obviously. You know that. And
you get the experience and the feeling of it versus the words of the dogma of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I try to stay away from the dogma as much as I can. one thing I wanted to discuss before we, yeah. you know, we close today, and I don't know when that's going to happen, but I wanted to make sure I got it in, was there is a section in the book on nightmares.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I mean, it's a big bugaboo for an awful lot of people. People mm-hmm. Will... you know, have a nightmare and you struggle to bring yourself, you know, back to, you know, consciousness when you're in one.
Yes.
And yet I have found that for not only myself, but for people I have worked with who have nightmares, mm-hmm. and by have them, I might mean one a month. You know, I'm not talking about individuals who perhaps have suffered some trauma and have nightmares on a nightly basis. That's a whole other, you know, a level of health issue that you need to deal with. But I'm talking about a person who on occasion has a nightmare that this could probably have in tremendous value for you. And not to ignore them. What I try to do with nightmares, I try to go back into it. Before I am fully awake, I'll start this little story about it, you know, and try to go back into it. There is a technique known as lucid dreaming. Are you familiar with it?
That's what I did in the beginning of this call when I said about going back in and talking to them dark people.
That's exactly it. Lucid dreaming, actually lucid dreaming can happen in both the awake state and the dreaming state, especially if you're one of those like myself that believes it's all a dream. Regardless of where your consciousness is. But people who have learned the technique of lucid dreaming, they can actually re-engage with that nightmare and see where it takes you. Because a nightmare is just the unconscious mind sort of knocking on the door and saying, wake up, you need to pay attention to this. This is a big deal. People ignore those big deals because they're afraid of them. And yet deep down inside, you know, when you get into it, it's not really all that fearful. When I used to work with kids at the juvenile hall, I often would have them, I worked with their dreams and I used part of that as part of a diagnostic tool, but I would also have them take, you know, go into their imaginations and look at, you know, a long dark hall and go through all of the process of describing it. And, you know, there's a door at the end of this hall and there is something very frightening and large beyond the door. And I want them to open the door. Well, some of them are able to get into that, and what they find behind the door, this nightmarish creature, often is the very thing that's been haunting them all their young lives, that they need to deal with specifically. Well, the same thing is with our nightmares. They're often trying to give us information about the very thing that's had you stuck or doing...
Absolutely.
You know, that's getting in your way.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting when you said about the doorway, because a lot of times we see aggressive kids. My son works with gang members right now, and he says, you know, that they're very angry and he's trying to teach them a different way in the daytime. And he shares other things that they have never experienced. But in essence, sometimes when you're fighting against the world in the daytime, it's, you're fighting, what are you fighting? And in the nighttime, you might be having nightmares. It's because you're still fighting there, too. So it might be telling you that, in essence. So you're fighting, are you fighting your dream in that state? Or are you fighting your life in that state? And really, it doesn't matter, just as you said. There's the crossover. There's the exact story of a crossover in which, what is your essence fighting?
Right.
And that's where you're
like, what is your soul fighting?
Yes.
You know, what is it not taking for granted and fighting and pushing against? We need to pay attention to that, because if we don't pay attention to that, all we've got is this big void.
Right.
That can't be filled.
Right. And circling back, we could circle it back to my thing with the bullet. It could be a past life. It could be at one time you were taken out. It could be a memory that keeps showing up, you know, that you're saying, hey, I need to have a gun in the day. Do you know what I mean?
Or
I need to go out and fight people. But I took that as it wasn't that, you know. See, so I think that each thing that we've shared today, you can circle it all back around to this, is that how do you see your day and your night, and don't consider it as, you know, it's put on the paper and it's got a stamp on it and that's good to go. See it as an experience, and how can you experience through these things? Because day and night, it doesn't matter, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, that other part, because you've come back to it a couple of times, where we kind of get stuck on meaning. Oh, it means this, and that's what it always means.
Right.
It's just not so on so many levels. I myself, on my dreams, well, every once in a while, I'll go back to old dreams. I've kept a journal for years. I've got journals all over the place. For years, and I'll go back to some of those old dreams.
Yeah.
And I'll look at them in the light of now, and it's amazing how the information changes. Like, oh, you know, this means something else, actually.
Right.
And, well, but it's
always, we can look in retrospect and romance the past, can't we?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a story that you're writing, you know, anyway. You know, it's a good thing to be fluid, you know, with your meanings. It's a good thing to be fluid with meanings while you're awake. You know, don't always believe what you think.
Right. Yeah, that quantum physics learning again, I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
I seriously believe that they should stop teaching kids history and start teaching them quantum physics in kindergarten, you know? Because
Fred Allen Watts.
I'm telling you. Well, you need to open yourself up to the potential in front of you and stop being in retrospect. You know what I mean? In other
words,
we're not constructed of the past. We are now creating within the options of what's going forward. So I think really that's what dreams are all about. You aren't stuck in that past. You might revisit it. It might show up for you. You may say, oh, I've been there before. Some old people may show up, whatever. And then it's sort of like, hey, dude, you're doing good. Great. See you later. You know, next day, it doesn't bother you anymore, you know. So I think idea, you know, what can we release? And what can we say going forward? I don't need to be that was before, yes? Isn't that what dreams are?
Yeah, that's beautifully said. You know, those same dreams, too, can be a completion.
Yes.
Working with physicians now that are beginning to see the dreams and the ramblings of some of their patients who are dying or in the process of dying, where the ego is in the process of dying. They're beginning to look at some of these dreams and these visions as, you know, a way of completing one's life, you know, a way of completing what has been learned before, you know, the ego passes on. And they're, I'm not saying there are a lot of them out there, but there are more medical doctors who are beginning to respect, you know, the dream world, especially as it is related to their patients.
You know, it's so interesting you said that, Robert. We'll finish on this, is that, you know, I work a lot with end-of-life clients, and people will say, oh, she must be hallucinating from the drugs because she's talking to somebody or someone from the past or someone. And I'll say, fantastic. So I go in and I engage with them. Hey, man, is there someone standing in the corner? Tell me what they look like. And I'll sit there and I'll start talking to them, too. Do you know
nice
what I
job.
Mean? Yeah, because I think that, see, what happens is that the family has that fear, but we have to remember it's their fear. It's not the person's, it's theirs. And I think that that's seriously important when people start expressing their dreams or their status or whatever's going on, be it in life or end of life, no matter what, is to honor what someone else is saying as their truth. Period.
Absolutely. And that's what the world of dreams provides to an individual.
Yes.
You know, is that it provides them their truth, as opposed to the conditioned truth of the culture around them.
Right, right. And that's very important. I mean, I think if we could take anything away from this conversation, it's that honor whatever is for anyone. Do you know what I mean? In other words, if you're sitting here telling me a story, honor their story as their story.
Absolutely.
Period.
Beautifully
but
said.
Never, never, ever diss anyone or try to deconstruct what they are feeling or sensing or sharing, because that's their own validity of their own essence.
Nicely said. Right.
It's a tough place to be, I'll tell you, because when people start opening up, you're going, oh, man, like I said, the other show to the other caller, it was that crazy bus goes up and down the street every day, you know?
Yeah.
And some days the door is open and you don't know if you're getting on or if you're getting off.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I mean,
and the answer often is, yes, that's what's happening. You're getting on and off.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The idea, I think, is to be able to say, whoa, isn't that cool? I rode that bus. It was fun. I got off the bus. Oh, I don't know. You know, and to be able
I get it.
Free, right? To be able to understand that, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a joy talking with you, Dr. Jeanette.
Absolutely.
It really has.
Can you share with the listeners, Robert, about all of your work? That would be wonderful.
Yeah, there's the Book of Dreams blog.wordpress.com, where I share a number of not only my own dreams, but other people's dreams. And there's Dark Night, that's K-N-I-G-H-T, of the Soul blog.wordpress.com. And that's where I share the darkness. I share it separately from the regular everyday. In order to get more information, just Google Morpheus Speaks.
Very good. Well, I think, Robert, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today, because I think people will say, oh, finally, he just like took a weight off of my shoulder. And I say to them, fantastic. You know that a little old Girl Scout badge, you know, thing that you used to carry and it used to be identifiers? And I'll say, you can strip all those identifiers. You don't need them anymore, right?
Right, exactly. You can take off the bandana, you know, and toss it.
Yes, absolutely, you know. Wow, it's such a freeing life, you know. And I'll tell you also, too, Robert, most of my radio show guests, I could say probably better than 60%, are over the age of 60. And I think the specific reason is because now we're saying, whew, man, we've been through the darkness, the light, and now we could still make it. Don't you think so?
Yeah, no, I absolutely believe that. I mean, a lot of my looking deeper, you know, has happened since I turned 60.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's such a wonderful world when you get on this other side, so.
Yeah, amen.
Absolutely. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us, Robert. It was such a great time to have your conversation.
Well, thank you. I've had a good time myself. It was my pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much. If you'd like more information about Robert J. Cole and his book, as Morpheus Speaks, the Encyclopedia of Dream Interpreting, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information, to go to his websites and find out all of the work that he does. Please just Google Morpheus Speaks. You'll find out so much information. And also Robert J. Cole. And if you'd like an appointment with Robert, or if you'd like to be able to explore your soul path, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page, and it'll go directly to my website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. And it's about being able to reach out, speak to whoever you can, have them honor and listen to what you are sharing. That is the goal. Robert and I are both here to be able to listen to what you have to share. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.